chapter 24, verses 23 through 27. But Felix, having more exact knowledge concerning the way, deferred them, saying, "When Lysias, the chief captain, came down, I will determine your matter." And he gave the order to the centurion that he should be kept in charge and should have indulgence and not to forbid any of his friends to minister unto him. But after a certain days, Felix came with Drusilla, his wife, who was a Jewess, and sent for Paul, and heard him concerning the faith of Jesus Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness and self-control, the judgment to come, Felix was terrified and answered, "Go thy way for this time, and when I have a convenient season, I will call thee unto me." He hoped with all that money would have been given him of Paul, wherefore also he sent for him the oftener and continued with him. But when 2 years were fulfilled, Felix was succeeded by Porcius Festus, and desiring to gain favor with the Jews, Felix left Paul in bonds.
I prepared a lesson this evening, as you can see, entitled Lessons from Felix. And that, of course, is the reason for the scripture reading. And I want to thank John for leading number 500, because that song kind of goes along with part of my lesson this evening. So, in the book of Acts here, in the 24th chapter, we pick up with Paul in Caesarea before Felix. And the question is, with any lesson, will we learn them? I believe there are several lessons we can learn from this narrative, from this story about Felix that we find in the 24th chapter of Acts. That is, that the gospel is universal. All need it. And we're going to see this, perhaps in particular, in the small audience that Paul had. The gospel is rational. The words that we read in the scripture are the very mind of God. So we reason from scripture. And, as we'll see, perhaps just from a cursory reading, it might not be obvious, but it took a lot of courage for Paul to say what he had to say to Felix and Drusilla. So we courageously speak what people need to hear. Truth should terrify the lost. Paul did preach to Felix about the judgment to come. And not to delay obedience to the gospel. Obey now. So the gospel is universal. All need it. Familiar verse to all of us in here, Matthew 28:19, called the Great Commission, where Jesus instructed his apostles to go and to make disciples of all nations. So Jesus said the gospel is to be universal. And Paul wrote to the Romans in chapter 1 and verse 16 that he was not ashamed of the gospel. That's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, to Jew and Gentile, to all nations. But let's look at this, if we could refer to it that way, is this small audience that Paul had to Felix and Drusilla. Felix was a very interesting character. Felix and his brother were descendants of Greek kings, kings of Arcadia. But they were slaves in Rome, he and his brother. And history doesn't record how, but Felix's brother came into a vast sum of money. And with that money, he helped finance the ascension of Claudius to the throne in Rome, to become emperor of Rome, to become Caesar, if you will. So, Felix's brother used his influence so that Felix became a freed man. Not only a freed man, but the governor of Judea. So in this audience, we have a Greek. We have a former slave. We have a freed man. We have a governor. And Drusilla, as Rick read in the scripture, Drusilla was a Jewess. Not only a Jewess, but she actually also held the position of being a princess, the daughter of Herod that you read about in Acts chapter 12, who killed James. And her first husband was a king. So Drusilla was also a queen. So you see, in this audience, before Paul, we have quite a mixture, don't we? When we think about the gospel is for all, as we sung this evening, number 424, a lot of the all was represented here before Paul, Jew and Gentile. Greeks, former slaves, freed men, royalty. Social classes. Walks of life. In terms of the gospel being to all and going to everybody, Paul certainly had that kind of audience. Here in verses 22 through 27 here of Acts 24. The gospel is for all. All need it. Felix certainly needed the gospel. The Roman historian Tacitus, in his annals, recorded about Felix, about his character, that with every kind of cruelty and lust, he exercised the authority of a king with the temper or the instinct of a slave. Felix's administration of Judea was characterized by bribery. That's the way he operated. He was all about cruelty. He was all about lust. He needed the gospel. It made me think of Proverbs 19:10, which says, "Delicate living is not seemly for a fool, much less for a servant to have rule over princes." And Drusilla certainly needed the gospel. Drusilla had left her first husband to marry Felix. Drusilla was an adulteress. Felix was an adulterer. He had left his first wife in order to marry Drusilla. And we might digress here for just a moment. And Lynn, I believe it was you who commented about our class on history and geography, that it's an interesting class because you can see how the events in the Old Testament related to other world events going on at the same time. Well, it's interesting to note we have a little bit of that in the story of Felix and Drusilla here. And that Felix's first wife was actually the granddaughter of Mark Antony and Cleopatra. But Felix and Drusilla certainly needed the gospel. And as Paul wrote to the Romans, that the Gentiles have sinned and the Jews have sinned, concluding in the third chapter of Romans, that all have sinned. All have sinned, and as he preached on Mars Hill in Athens in the 17th chapter of Acts, that God overlooked times of ignorance, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he's appointed a day in which he's going to judge the world. So in view of the fact that all have sinned and that all are going to be judged, all need the gospel. And the gospel is rational. We need to reason from it, as we studied in the sixth chapter of Ephesians, that we use our offensive and defensive weapon. We use the sword, the Word of God. In Acts 24 and 25, notice in the account that Paul did what about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come? He reasoned. He reasoned with Felix and Drusilla. And these words that he used to reason with, they were inspired from the Word of God. You remember a couple of chapters over that when Paul was giving his defense, to Festus, that remember Festus said, "Paul, your much learning has turned you mad." And Paul said, "No, Festus, it hasn't. But I speak words of truth and soberness. I speak rational words. These words that I speak are from the very mind of God." As Isaiah said in chapter 55, verses 8 and 9, as we looked at this morning, verse 8 in particular, as I recall, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, my ways are not your ways, saith Jehovah. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And Paul wrote to the Corinthians in his first letter, in the first chapter, in the 18th verse, that the word of the cross is to them that perish, what? Foolishness. But to us who are saved, it's the power of God. The words that Paul was using with Felix were the very power of God. So we reason from the gospel to persuade sinners. That's what Paul wrote to the Corinthians in his second letter, and in chapter 5 in verse 11, that knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade men. And we reason again from the gospel, from the scriptures, as we see in the 17th chapter of Acts, another example that where it's recorded that Paul, as his custom was, went in unto them and for three Sabbath days reasoned with them from the scriptures. Paul didn't reason from his own wisdom. We don't reason from our own wisdom. We reason from the scriptures. Now, we need to courageously speak what people need. Remember in the 28th chapter of Acts, in the 31st verse, it's recorded that Paul, teaching the things concerning the Lord, he taught with all boldness. And it was going to take a lot of boldness, a lot of courage for Paul to speak to Felix, because secular history records that interesting statement about Felix, that Claudius was equally fond of Felix, Claudius being the emperor of Rome, giving him the command of cohorts and of troops of horse as well as the province of Judea, and he became the husband of three queens. And yes, Felix was married three times. Two of his wives had the same name, Drusilla. So, Felix had the favor of Rome. So Paul was speaking to someone who had the favor of Rome. But, again, from Tacitus, it's recorded about Felix that Felix thought he could do any evil act with impunity because he was backed up by such power, by Rome. So, you see, Paul was actually going to speak to a man, his hearer, Felix, who might have executed Paul. Even though Paul was a Roman citizen, Felix, being the character that he was, that he could do anything with impunity. He might have executed Paul. Don't you think that Paul knew this? So it took a lot of courage for Paul to say these things to Felix, to preach to him. Just a little bit later, Paul would ask the Ephesians, as we studied in the 6th chapter of Ephesians, that they would pray that he would have utterance and boldness. Not only boldness, but going along with boldness, he asked that they would pray for utterance. And you know, that word utterance there in Ephesians carries with it the idea of the right words at the right time. And certainly that goes hand in hand with boldness. Paul needed the right words at the right time with an individual like Felix. And he preached faith in Christ Jesus. Paul preached the gospel to Felix. Remember, what did he preach? He preached righteousness. He preached the gospel to Felix. He preached to Felix and Drusilla what they needed to hear, not what they wanted to hear. Paul didn't preach to him, if you let me go, I'll give you part of these sums of monies I've collected on my trip around the eastern half of the Mediterranean world. Remember, that's how Felix operated as a ruler. His favorite way of operating was bribery, recorded in the scripture and recorded by secular history as well. Isn't that interesting? Remember in 1 Corinthians 9:16. And Paul said that woe is unto me if I do not preach the gospel. Paul preached the gospel to Felix. And that's what we're to do, as we studied, all of us, in Galatians 6 and 10. To share spiritual things, as we studied. Now, he preached righteousness. He's addressing what his audience needed to hear. Righteousness being the condition or the state of being accepted or approved by God. Felix and Drusilla, we can see by their lives, they were in sin. They had sinned, Romans 3:23. But he spoke of faith in Christ Jesus. And that included righteousness. And could you imagine if Paul told Felix and Drusilla about righteousness, but then didn't tell them how to obtain it? We'd probably think that was incredible. Of course he told them how to obtain righteousness. And, again, about the needs of the audience, Felix and Drusilla. It's no accident that the Scripture records he talked to them about self-control. The mere presence of Drusilla said a whole lot about Felix's need for self-control. He was living with a woman he had no right to. He was all about cruelty and lust and adultery. I'm going to move on here. But in talking about self-control, Paul exposed their sin. Ephesians 5 and 11. And he talked about the consequences of sin. And I suspect that that was one reason why Felix was terrified. Certainly you would think that as a former slave, Felix would know something about the consequences of disobedience and judgment to come. And we know that we're all going to face that day, Romans 14 and 12. And it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, Hebrews 10, 31. So the truth should terrify the lost when they understand that on the last day, that at the revelation of Jesus, that from heaven, angels with flaming fire are going to come, rendering vengeance on those that know not God, that have not obeyed God. So this should throw fear into the sinner. And lastly, the last lesson we learned from the story of Felix, this account of Paul's encounter with Felix, and the fact that he had more encounters with Felix over the 2 years described in Scripture. That as Paul wrote to the Corinthians in his second letter in chapter 6 and verse 2, where he quoted that, that now is the day of salvation. See, James also wrote in James 4:14, that we don't know what tomorrow will bring. Neither did Felix and Drusilla. Felix, as you see there, was succeeded by Festus. But the reason was, Felix was called Rome by Nero because it had come to Nero's attention that Felix was, I don't know how I could express it, operating by bribery and had taken advantage of a political situation between Judea and another neighboring Roman province and had profited from it. So he was called to Rome to answer for that. And Felix's brother, Paulus, again, used his influence, his money, to to help Felix get out of that situation. But after that, Felix married a third time. And during the 2 years when he was still in Judea and talking to Paul, he was still married to Drusilla at that time. We see nothing in Felix's life where he was taking steps to become a Christian. He was still living in sin. But history doesn't record his fate after he went to see Nero and was married a third time. However, Drusilla, she was still married, of course, to Felix during that 2 year period described in the Scripture that we looked at. She was still living in adultery. And at that time, she was perhaps, as history records, around 20 years of age. Probably not even thinking about when she would die. But she didn't get to live to be 80 or 90 years old. She died in the eruption of Vesuvius in 79 AD, probably at around the age of 37. As we would say, her life was cut short. We don't know whether either one of them had opportunity to obey the gospel after they had seen Paul. That might have been the last opportunity that presented itself for them to obey the gospel. We don't know. But the lesson is to not delay, but obey now. As James said, we don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. So with that, the lesson is yours. If you're here this evening and you haven't obeyed the gospel, you have the opportunity to do so now. To believe that Jesus is the Son of God, to repent of your sins, to confess that He is the Christ, the Son of God, and to be buried with Him in baptism, to become a member of the one church that you read about in the New Testament, the church that He built. And if you've done that, and if you have forgotten that the call of the gospel is not just only a call to initial obedience, as I just described, but it's also a call to a sanctified life, as Paul described and talked about in Acts chapter 26 and verse 18. It's a call to a life of sanctification. If you've forgotten that, if you haven't been walking in the light as you should, you have the opportunity to correct that this evening. So if we can address either of those needs, please come forward as we stand and sing the song which has been selected.